Hey, Jenny, what's so great about beer?
Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Beer Talk Radio. I am your host, Jenny the Greek, and this is the podcast where we explore craft beer culture with industry experts, foodie friends, ale enthusiasts, and microbrew misfits. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and comment on iTunes. If you're interested in learning more about Beer Talk Radio, please visit www.beertalkradio.net. All of the social media links, announcements, events, and promotions are on the website. And if you have a suggestion, if there's a person you'd like me to interview or a brewery you would like me to visit, please write me an email with your feedback at jenny@beertalkradio.net. First off, let me say Happy New Year to everyone. I hope that you have some great goals set for yourself in 2019. Feel free to reach out to me with an email and let me know what your goals are. And who knows, if we could collaborate, why not? Anything's possible. Some of my goals for 2019 are to fix my credit, which should be on a lot of your lists, to get back into Krav Maga, and to write my very first cookbook. Let me know what your goals are. Send me an email at jenny@beertalkradio.net. Today's New Year episode, there's going to be a couple of firsts. I have been in the beer geek community peripherally, tangentially, for about the past year. Can't say that I enjoy a lot of the beer events that I've been to. I'm a little bit alpha, but I will say this. I did learn about something called the shower beer. How many of you have heard of it? The shower beer. I did not know that this was actually a thing. I did not know this was really something that regular people did. Apparently, what you do is you get an ice cold beer and you run a hot, hot shower and you chug the beer while you're lathering up and rinsing off. I've never heard of this before up until about maybe 10, 11 months ago. And I have been holding out this whole time and I've never done it. But today is a new day. This is a new year. And I decided that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And I'm going to do it with a beer that's, I know, is going to make me feel good. I want my first shower beer experience to be the best. So for that, I have chosen one of my all-time favorites. And this is a very, very popular beer. A lot of people on the West Coast know about it. It's on a lot of taps at a lot of restaurants and bars. Maybe you've heard of it yourself. Old Rasputin. I mean, if I'm going to get drunk in a shower with anyone, I'm getting drunk with this guy. We're going to talk about this beer. We're going to talk about the brewing company, North Coast Brewing Company. And then we're going to talk about the man himself. Now, this guy was a psychic. He was a wizard. He was a pervert. He was a hedonist. And there are many stories of him and the things that he said, the predictions that he made, and how they have affected the Russian royal family. I think, God, when was it? I got dates here. We'll talk about that later. He's quite a character. He is quite a character. He lived a very, very interesting life. But he did actually bring quite a bit of healing to certain families. I'm sure that he also created a lot of drama and definitely stirred the pot. You could consider him kind of Howard Hughes crazy. One of those guys that was brilliant but didn't take showers. Like, both amazing and disgusting at the same time. That's what Rasputin was. But let's get into it. Old Rasputin, Russian Imperial Stout, produced in the tradition of 18th century English brewers who supplied the court of Russia's Catherine the Great Old Rasputin seems to develop a cult following wherever it goes. I'm definitely a believer, as you can see. It's a rich, intense brew with big, complex flavors and a warming finish. The Old Rasputin brand image is a drawing of Rasputin with a phrase in Russian encircling it. A sincere friend is not born instantly. The style is Russian Imperial Stout. The color is black. ABV is 9%. And I think it's actually a little bit higher. Oh, no. They knocked it down. It used to be, I believe, 9.75. Maybe they toned it down. But when I first started drinking this, I think the ABV was a little bit higher. And, of course, that was years ago. Bitterness, 75 IBU. It has won the 2018 World Beer Championship in Chicago. It has been referred to by Bill Owens, the president of American Distilling Institute, as the best beer in the world in my eyes, meaning in his eyes. It is a non-GMO beer, and it has a 100-point overall beer rate score at the BTI. It has won gold for also the 2014 World Beer Championship in Chicago, the 2012 Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival, 2006 Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival, 2006, 2005, and 2004 World Beer Championship in Chicago, won the 2004 Spring Beer and Wine Fest in Portland, 2002 GABF Imperial Stout, 1999, the GABF Imperial Stout, and it has won gold for the 1999, 1998, 1997, 1996 World Beer Championships in Chicago, as well as the 1996 World Beer Cup for Imperial Stouts. I will be reading an excerpt from All About Beer magazine about the beer itself. This is an extremely popular beer, and I have found many reviews from many beer bloggers and many beer geeks, and I found that this review itself was the most descriptive, so I would like to share it with you. Again, this is taken from All About Beer magazine. By the time Catherine the Great, Empress of all Russia, started commissioning porter from London breweries in the 1780s, the ale had been a favorite import for decades. The fame of these strong barrel-aged beers was already circling the globe, and versions of it were being made in Scotland, Ireland, and the newly independent United States. Those original London porters were made with rough, smoky grain known as brown malt, and the beer, as it came out of the kettle, apparently wasn't too much fun to drink. Once brewers learned to let their porters sit in wooden vats for up to 2 years, though, a magical transformation happened. Native microorganisms transformed an acrid beer into something refined and sherry-like. Ooh. That definitely explains the mouthfeel of this beer. It is a little bit thick. Back to the excerpt. Yet the word imperial that became associated with the porter bound for the Tsarina court, purportedly the strongest of the London porters, had a double meaning. That porter was made for imperial purposes, but porter itself had become beer's monarch. Eventually, of course, the great vat-aged porters gave way to other lesser ales. The strongest versions, the stout porters, withered and grew tame. They were further diminished by world wars, and by the 1950s, not a single brewery in England made a porter. Except for the success of its distant ancestor, the Irish stout, the era of this style seemed over. 3 decades later, Mark Rudrick and 2 cohorts were putting together plans for a brewery in Fort Bragg, California. Rudrick had been a home brewer and had lived in England for 2 years. And long before starting North Coast Brewing, he became enchanted by stouts. I had also made my own special study of Guinness while living in England, he says. And indeed, Old No. 38, an Irish stout, was one of the beers North Coast offered when it debuted in 1988. but it was a different stout that would make North Coast famous. Once he discovered as a home brewer years before, Burt Grant's Imperial Stout. It was a revelation for me, he recalls. It was an evocation of those ancient Baltic bound porters. I thought it was a beer I'd very much like to brew one day. It took six more years before he began formulating Old Rasputin. And though it was inspired by Grant's, he wanted it to be entirely original. Grant had been sweeter, maltier, and was only 6% ABV. I think we need to plant a stake in the ground. It was logical to give this beer a very American twist. Instead of doing a malty beer, doing something that was much more hop forward. What emerged was nothing like the old vat-aged brown porters sent to Russia. Yet, in its booming strength and intense flavors, Old Rasputin did capture their spirit. Rudrick wanted it to express the character of American hopping, so he infused it with 75 international bitterness units, IBUs, of Centennial, Northern Brewer, and Cluster hops. The clusters are a nice touch, an old American hop. They were widely used in British brewing as a bittering hop in the 19th century. The hops give it a resinous, almost oily layer that augments the powerhouse roasted malts. One of the early lessons we learned in making Old 38 was that roasted barley is critical, and not using too much black malt is also critical, says Rudrick. He created a foundation of caramel malts to add some balancing sweetness and what he called intermediate malts for flavor. What is an intermediate malt? Brown malt, for one, another wink to St. Petersburg. As we were discussing the beer, Rudrick called it creamy but quite dry. And that has always been my impression too, right down to the words I used in the tasting notes. By the way, I'm going to give the author's name after I finish reading this, but remember, this is an excerpt from All About Beer magazine. So this is the blogger speaking. As we were discussing the beer, Rudrick called it creamy but quite dry, and that has always been my impression too, right down to the words I'd used in tasting notes. Shortly after North Coast launched Old Rasputin, Goose Island began making a bourbon barrel-aged imperial stout, which now seems the default for American brewers. It has led the lineage of American stouts in a much sweeter direction than Rudrick envisioned. The latest trend in pastry stouts, very sweet confectionery ales, extends that tradition further. As a consequence, recent reviews have tended to ding Old Rasputin, a bit too light on body, Craft Beer and Brewing observed. Slightly astringent, said Draft Magazine. Too astringent, somewhat coarse, one reviewer at Beer Connoisseur decided. But these seem to take modern, gloopy, sweet imperials as the benchmark when Rudrick was shooting for something entirely different. We use a low mash temperature to create an extremely fermentable wort to make sure this beer finishes as bone dry as a huge canned beer, he says. And this is where Old Rasputin sings. The relative dryness reveals the layers of hop and roast, and the palate shimmers with different flavors as it passes over the tongue. Dark chocolate and cocoa, yeast esters that evoke cherry red or red wine, that piney resin, a touch of char, a delicately sweet toffee, all wrapped up in an unusual creaminess. Most of the modern sweeter imperials are built to be drunk in volumes of a few ounces. Old Rasputin, despite its intensity, sustains and nourishes the soul over the course of a full pint. Now, let me just interject here. If you are able to find Old Rasputin at a bar tap, it is very likely they will not give you a 16-ounce pour. They will give you a 10 or 12-ounce pour, and it will cost the same $8 that you would pay for a pint. That is because the ABV is so high, and let me tell you, this is a beer. This is one of my go-tos. This is a beer that's going to get you fucked up. So you're going to want to drink a little bit less of it. So if you do find it on tap and you want to try it, do not be surprised when they do not bring you a full pint. Most restaurants and bars will not do that with this type of beer. Just a forewarning, but please proceed with ordering it anyway. You're going to love it. Back to the read. Porters and stouts have been mainly things over the past 300 years. At their most robust, they were beers that warmed the coldest Russian winter nights and inspired a world to start making them. Of all the modern interpretations, few match old Rasputin's ambition, daring, and accomplishment. It has earned the right to be called imperial. And that is an excerpt from a blog by Jeff Aylworth. It's kind of funny his name is Aylworth. I wonder if that's really his real name. But he was writing for All About Beer magazine. And you can find this article in the show notes. I will make sure to put it there. Let's learn a little bit more about North Coast Brewing Company. This Fort Bragg brewery began in 1988. Co-founder Mark Rudrick has helped build North Coast Brewing into not only a fun place to be, but accessible across the nation. Over the time they have been in business, they have won more than 70 awards for their beers. If you aren't familiar with this type of certification, a B Corporation is one that goes above and beyond. They are measured against things like environment, community, workers, and more. Being a certified B company shows that you are committed to bringing only the best. They use solar energy, pair with local farms, and give back to their community. And just a reminder, this beer is also non-GMO, verified non-GMO. You see that little label there? Non-GMO. That's awesome. As mentioned above, North Coast Brewing Company is a vital part of our community. They strive not only to make a great beer, but partnering with other businesses. And you can see that list of organizations is vast and varied. Like all amazing breweries, they have a beautiful tap room. They are open 7 days a week and is a perfect place to grab a drink or dinner too. They have delicious pub items that pair fantastically with the beer. The tap room has been Mendocino County Restaurant of the Year before as well. One of the passions at North Coast Brewing is jazz. They are involved with many different jazz organizations and festivals. At the Sequoia Room, they have jazz every Friday and Saturday starting at 6 p.m. Musicians from all over the region come and play. Have a look at their calendar and be sure to set aside some time for a wonderful performance. Beers at North Coast Brewing Company. These are their year-round beers. They have several beers that are always in production and available year-round. Some of those are Old Number 38 Stout, which remember was the first stout that Mark made before he made Old Rasputin. Remember, Number 38. Red Seal Ale, Blue Star Wheat Beer, and the next two I wanted to mention are also very, very locally famous brews. A lot of people out here in California on the West Coast are drinking them. It is also their Prankster, which you can find on tap at a lot of different places in Northern California, and Brother Thelonious. I know you guys have heard of it. It's a very, very popular beer. It is also made by North Coast Brewing Company. And then, of course, Old Rasputin. They also have some barrel-aged beers. They have taken some of their year-round beers and barrel-aged them. This process makes the flavors slightly different and more intense. These also include the North Coast Grand Cru, Old Rasputin, and Old Stock Ale. They also have a reserve list. Like fine wines, some of the year-round beers have been set aside and allowed to age a little longer. This allows the beer process to continue and enhance the flavors. Some of those that are available are the 2013 Old Stock Ale, Barley Wine Ale, 2009 Old Stock Ale, and a 20th Anniversary Ale. As you can see, you can truly have an amazing time when you choose to go to North Coast Brewing Company. If you are visiting the Northern California area, drive up to Mendocino County. They are known for their vineyards. They're known for wine. They're also known for marijuana growing. But there are some great breweries up there, and you've got to go visit North Coast at Fort Bragg. I actually went to Fort Bragg, but I did not get a chance to stop and visit this brewery. But now that I'm back in Northern California, it's definitely going to be on my list of things to do.
Attention, serious sports bettors. Have you ever wondered what happens to a line on a game before you bet it? How many times have you lost a game by a half a point? Hi, I'm Steven, and I've been a successful professional gambler for over 30 years. I created a podcast called Tell Me I'm Wrong. I talk about value when it comes to sports betting. Since such a small percentage of us are successful in this business, I'm sure just about everything I talk about and share will be just about the opposite of anything you've ever done. Through the years, I've also met some very off-color, off-center characters, and I'll share some of the hilarious stories that have happened when I've crossed their paths. Please join me for the podcast on iTunes or Google Play. You could also find me in my social media links on www.tellmeimwrongshow.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, every half point matters.
I'm not quite sure why Mark Rudrick decided to name this beer Old Rasputin. Old Rasputin was nuts. He was batshit crazy. However, what we consider crazy, others might call eccentric. Like I said, he was one of those psychotic, does not wash their ass, crazy, weird, hedonistic, sexually perverse, powerful men who was able to inject himself into the Russian royal family. He was able to kind of get a hold on a lot of people's lives. I would highly suggest that you check out some of the documentaries that have been made about Old Rasputin, and this guy will blow your mind. I'm not sure why they named the beer after him, but I would say that because of the ABV and because of the rich flavor and because of how amazing it feels to drink this beer, not just in terms of the alcoholic effects, but also just in terms of the taste, perhaps it is a fitting name. If you live in California, you might be familiar with Rasputin Records. So there are other companies that have taken his name to, I guess, represent their brand. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Not necessarily a bad thing at all. Very interesting guy. So let's learn a little bit more about him. Grigory Rasputin was born into a peasant family in Siberia, Russia, around 1869. After failing to become a monk, Rasputin became a wanderer and eventually entered the court of Tsar Nicholas II because of his alleged healing abilities. Known for his prophetic powers, he became a favorite with Nicholas's wife, Alexandria Fedorovna, but his political influence was minor. Rasputin became swept up in the events of the Russian Revolution and met a brutal death at the hands of assassins in 1916. Oh, and I forgot to mention, it is rumored that Rasputin could not die. There were three attempts made on his life, and he survived them all until the last one. But we'll get into that. Born into a Siberian peasant family around 1869, Grigory Rasputin received little schooling and probably never learned to read or write. In his early years, some people of his village said that he possessed supernatural powers, while others cite examples of extreme cruelty. For a time, it was believed his name Rasputin meant licentious in Russian. Historians now believe that Rasputin meant where two rivers meet, a phrase that describes an area near where he was born in Siberia. Rasputin entered the Verkhochur Monastery in Russia with the intention of becoming a monk, but left shortly thereafter, presumably to get married. At age 19, he wed Proskovia Fyodorovna, and they later had three children. Two others died shortly after birth. In his early 20s, however, Rasputin left his family and traveled to Greece and the Middle East, making several pilgrimages to the Holy Land. In 1903, Rasputin's wanderings brought him to St. Petersburg, where he arrived with the reputation as a mystic and faith healer. 2 years later, he was introduced to Russian Tsar Nicholas II and his wife, Alexandra, who were seeking help for their sickly son, Alexis. Rasputin quickly gained their confidence, seemingly curing the boy of hemophilia. This action won him the passionate support of Alexandra. And it is rumored he had a little bit more than her support, if you know what I mean. Between 1906 and 1914, various politicians and journalists used Rasputin's association with the imperial family to undermine the dynasty's credibility and to push for reform. Rasputin helped their efforts by claiming to be Tsarina's advisor, and accounts of his rampant lascivious behavior emerged into the press, compounding contempt among state officials. In truth, however, Rasputin's influence at the time was limited to the health of Alexis. So it's rumored that this guy was like nasty and having orgies and sleeping with women amongst the Russian aristocracy. Check out the documentaries that I'm going to put in the show notes, and you can learn way more about his sexual depravity. As Russia entered World War I, Rasputin predicted that calamity would befall the country. Nicholas II took command of the Russian army in 1915, and Alexandra took responsibility for domestic policy. Always Rasputin's defender, she dismissed ministers who were said to be suspicious of the mad monk. Government officials tried to warn her of Rasputin's undue influence, but she continued to defend him, giving the impression that Rasputin was her closest advisor. On the night of December 29th, 1916, a group of conspirators, including the Tsar's first cousin, Grand Duke Dmitry Pavlovich, and Prince Felix Yusupov, invited Rasputin to Yusupov's palace and fed him wine and cakes laced with cyanide. Though Rasputin eventually became rather drunk, the poison seemed to have had no effect. Baffled but not deterred, the conspirators finally shot Rasputin multiple times. He was then wrapped in a carpet and thrown into the river, where it was discovered 3 days later. Although Rasputin was gone, the last of his prophecies was yet to unfold. Shortly before his death, he wrote to Nicholas to predict that if he were killed by government officials, the entire imperial family would be killed by the Russian people. His prophecy came true 15 months later, when the Tsar, his wife, and all of his children were murdered by assassins amidst the Russian Revolution. There you have it, folks. Old Rasputin. There he is. There he is in all his glory, the mad monk. Well, as I said before, it is the new year. I am trying new things. So I am going to have my very first shower beer with you guys. Let's move this party to the bath. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would say that it is time for me to do this. I'm a little bit nervous, as most of us are, our very first time. But I'm looking forward to it. I popped this thing earlier. I wanted you guys to get a closer look. It's almost like drinking a very thick Coca-Cola or a very thick root beer. It drinks as thick as a soda. So when it was compared to sherry, that thick liqueur mouthfeel is what they're talking about on this beer. So we need to get into it, as Tammy Roman says. It's one of the most flavorful beers that I've ever had. And unlike the pastry porters, which had been mentioned in the blog that I read from earlier, There is a sweetness to it, but it's almost like a black licorice sweetness, to where it's not a sugary sweetness. It's more of a natural sweetness, like something that you would get out of a reduction. I don't know if you guys have ever had balsamic reduction, but it's very similar to that type of sweetness. Almost like something was reduced down to a thick sugary glaze, almost like a glaze. That's the best way that I can put it. I love the artwork on the label. Wanted you guys to get a closer look actually at the North Coast logo right there. All right, guys, I'm going to do this now. My first time, my first shower beer. Let's go. Well, that was quite amazing. There's something about the bitterness, hop forwardness of this beer that makes it palatable and tolerable for me. The bitterness primarily is in the end. It comes after the thick, nutty, malty, deep, dark, it's almost like drinking bourbon without the smoke, if that makes sense. It's the bourbon of beers without being a barrel aged brew. It's the bourbon of beers. It's just that good. It's just that easy drinking, and it's fun to drink. It's tasty. I'm leaning to the side a little bit, because when people do shower beers, they normally don't drink a beer that is 9%, but I'm a badass, so I decided to do it, and it was definitely worth it. So my first shower beer was absolutely delicious, and I'm glad I got to experience this my very first time with this old, dirty, old Rasputin. Thank you, North Coast Brewing Company, for the amazing products that you put out. I will be trying to come to see you soon. Once again, for the rest of you, if you can make a trip to Northern California, please rent a car. Please drive up through to Mendocino County, and you will enjoy visiting not just the brewery, but honestly, I lived in that area briefly. I will tell you that the landscape is divine, and you are going to feel like you are in heaven. And of course, if you take this guy into the shower with you, you will continue to feel like you're in heaven, as I do right now. Thank you, everyone. Hey, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. I hope you laughed. I hope you learned something new. And I hope you found a brand new appreciation for this beautiful liquid that we call craft beer. Please don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and comment on iTunes. And if you'd like to follow me on any of my social media platforms, you can find them all at www.beertalkradio.net. If you'd like to send me a message directly, I am Jenny at beertalkradio.net. Thanks for drinking with me today, and have a good one.